Hey, I'm Scott, and I'm an American in Bangkok. Right now, I'm an American in Bangkok that's on my way to Ortokor Market. You know, I just got this new camera. It's a Minolta AF2, Hymatic AF2, which, you know, it's definitely not a high-end camera. In fact, I bought it for $31, but the lens on it is quite good, and I've got another Minolta Hymatic. It's a film. They're film cameras. This thing's about almost 40 years old, so you know, it's held up, and I bought the thing. It looks brand new, so I'm quite happy with it. So the thing is that I'm gonna go now to take some photos at the market and just test the thing out. And I've got a couple of rolls of film that I haven't developed, so I'm gonna blow through this roll, then I'll go to the camera shop and get the rolls of film, all the rolls developed. While I'm waiting to have them done, I'll walk over to Central Lot Prow and probably have a coffee or something, and then go from there back over to the camera shop, to the film shop. I'm going to buy some film because I'm running low on film, and get the pictures, go back home, check them out, see what I got, and see how the camera is working, because it looks great, but you know, there could be anything wrong with it. On the inside, it seems to be working quite well, so that's what I'm doing right now. So I'm in the back of a taxi. It's a Grab taxi. I tend to use Grab taxi because for numerous reasons, one of which is you generally don't have the attitude that you get from some taxi drivers. I gotta say, I don't get attitude from a lot of drivers, but once in a while you get in with a guy. You know, the other day I had my kids with me, and I had 55 baht, okay, I had a 50 baht note, and I have 5 baht in coins, and I had a 100 baht bill. Now, I said to the guy, you know, here's the 100 baht. I didn't want to short him, gave him the 100 baht. He says, oh, no, I don't have any change. I said, okay. Or actually, he said, I can only give you 35 baht back. So he was going to keep, you know, an extra 10 baht. And I said, no, listen, how about I just give you 55 baht? He said, no, you have to give me 2 baht. So here he was trying to stiff me for 10 baht because he didn't have the change. And yet when I had the 55 baht, and the thing is, when we pulled up, it just clipped over and went to 57 baht. And, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, it's not that big of a deal. My kid had some money, and he said, you know, here, I'll give you the 2 baht. I said, okay, cool. But that's the kind of thing that, like, those are the kind of situations that if you let them, they will escalate out of hand quite quickly. Because here's this guy. He doesn't want to pay me. He doesn't want to give me my change. Now, I was due back 45 baht. He only wanted to give me 35 baht. And yet, when I'm going to short him 2 baht, he demanded, actually. It was a demand. He said, hey, because I got out of the car, I gave him the 55 baht, I got out, and I said, okay, you know, thank you, and I got out. And he goes, no, you have to give me the 2 baht. My kid goes, he wants you to give him the 2 baht. And even my kid said, this guy's an asshole. And, you know, whatever, okay, he wants his 2 baht, he wants every, I understand, he needs to get paid for everything that is due to him, and I didn't have a problem giving him the 2 baht, but I didn't think that I had to change. I didn't think my kid had any money on him. You know, leave it to him to say, hey, I got some money, but he said it after the fact. So, but you know, this is how they get sometimes. So anyway, my point is that when you're driving in a Grab taxi, generally they tend to be a lot more polite. They tend to be, you know, they just, they're not out to screw you over, which I like that. And I think that there, you know, there's a new taxi service coming in the future. It's All Thai Taxi. That's just their name. Doesn't mean that they're only serve Thais, but it's called All Thai Taxi. Uber is not allowed here. But I do believe that in the future, this is the wave of the future. You call the taxi, they come to where you are, or there are certain taxis for certain tasks, like, you know, we pick people up from their home or office, and there are other taxis that are allowed to roam around, and that's it. It's simple as that. And there are, now they've already got, as I said before, they have that application that you can rate the driver, which is quite good. And apparently, you know, a while back I did a video where I said, you know, I actually called in on this guy, or I used the application rather, and I said, you know, I filed a complaint against the guy. Well, they sent me a message and they said, you know, this guy has had numerous complaints and now he's not driving anymore. So they banned him from driving, which, you know, I don't want to take away anybody's livelihood, but, you know, Jesus, man. I mean, you know, how hard is it to drive a taxi and just be halfway decent to somebody? You don't even have to say anything to me. That's the thing. I don't care if they say a word to me. Some of them are extremely polite and friendly and nice. It's very easy to get along with them. You know, that's what the vast majority of them are, just like, you know, the vast majority of Thais are very easy to get along with. They're not out to screw you around. They wouldn't even think about doing that. Anyway, I'm on my way. I'm on Ludhprow Road, checking everything out. It's a cloudy day, fortunately. There's not much sun, so hopefully it'll be cooler today. I'm hoping. Now, I just wanted to go over some YouTube comments and some emails and messages that I've got, because although usually I'll go out and go do things and go places and make videos and talk from out in the public somewhere, because of my hip and the not wanting to walk around for very long, I haven't really been doing that. And hopefully I leave for Chiang Mai one week from today. I leave for Chiang Mai, and then the Sunday, the day after, I have the surgery done. So hopefully that will bring me back to where I'm able to walk and do things, and, you know, I can have my life back. But, you know, in this case, I'm going to Or Tor Kor Market. The guy's going to drop me off right in front of Or Tor Kor. I'll walk around for 15, 20 minutes inside the market. I'll grab a little bite to eat, then I'll walk around another 15, 20 minutes, blow through the film I got, then I'll take a taxi and go back to the camera show. I'll go to the camera store and get the film developed, and so I don't have to walk around that much, so it's pretty nice. But I get the number of emails and messages that I've been getting and the correspondence that I've been getting has grown dramatically. It's increased dramatically over the last, say, 6 months, and I appreciate it. It's good. And while this is a members podcast, and I'm not asking my members for anything, those that are not members, the bottom line is this: I'm not going to. You know, it comes down to this. If I pick your message to answer it, then, you know, great. You get your answer. You get your question answered, and it doesn't cost you anything. And you know, it's as simple as that. But I'm only going to do like one or two a week, and that's it. Because I've been concentrating on all these messages, trying to email people back and make sure that I answer every single message that I get, and I just can't do it. So if you are sending me a message and I haven't responded, well, this is why. I got too many messages. I'm too busy. And seeing that this doesn't really pay the bills, hopefully in the future it would be, it'll increase to where it's substantial enough to where I am concentrating on it, but it doesn't pay my bills, really. It's just a little bit of money here and there. And you know, anybody who knows, like, if you put Amazon on your website and people click on Amazon, you get like 3% of the sale, which is, you know, if you're buying a book and the book is $8, that's 24 cents. I mean, you know, it's not like I'm getting rich off this stuff. So the point is that I've only got limited time, and I'm starting to offer the people on YouTube, I'm going to offer them the membership and consultation fees. Sometimes there'll be discounts. And, you know, it's as simple as that. If I can answer, I can answer. It's not like I got a couple of secretaries sitting around answering all my messages and sorting all my fan mail. That's not happening. So, but let me go through some of these messages, and you'll get an idea of what I deal with and the kind of people that I, well, you know, I deal with you. But there are some that are a little more difficult than others. Now, I got a message from one guy. He's been around. I know he's been a subscriber for quite some time. And I said something on one of the videos about how there's no reason to give a girl money just because she says, oh, you know, I need a little bit of money to pay the rent. And there's no reason to just give in and give her the money. I mean, if you are, then you need to be getting something back, which means you better be getting laid. And at least you should know where you stand. If you're giving her money and basically you're going to get sex for that money, and it's not always such a clear line, you know, it's not so clear all the time on, you know, what kind of relationship do we have, but a lot of times it is. It's like, you know, okay, listen, you know, I'll give you some money every month, but you got to blow me, or you got to sleep with me, or whatever it is. This guy writes back, hey, I agree with Scott. If you are not getting a sloppy blow job every day on demand, don't give up the $250 to $300 a month. As they say in Thailand, no money, no honey, ha ha. Now, there was a guy, he's, I'm pretty sure he doesn't, well, I think he's been banned because of something he wrote about how much money he spent. I think this was the onion guy, the guy who said he goes and picks onions and he gets mangoes from people's property, and that's what he eats, and that's how come he lives so cheaply, and oh yeah, it's not a big deal, but it is a big deal. And I'll tell you what, if you were in America and you were on my property and you were stealing my fruit, I'd kick your ass or hit you over the head with a rake or something, right? Because, you know, it's stealing is stealing, okay? Simple as that. So he wrote back, I think $300, you can almost have your gig for 1 month of sex. Well, now that is true sometimes, okay? However, that's, you know, here's the thing. We all are individuals. We all have our own way of living. Some people, they enjoy living frugally, and they don't need to have designer things, and they don't want to, you know, the women don't need to go out and get their nails done and their hair done, and, you know, they're not high maintenance, and it goes for men, too, or they're not big spenders. They don't need it. They're just happy sitting at home with a book or whatever, and they're comfortable that way. But I'll tell you that I'm not saying that you can't get a very attractive girl to be your gig or your basically to be at your beck and call to your little sex buddy for a month. I'm not saying that you can't get one for a couple hundred bucks a month, but I will say this, that the ones that are a little more maintained, a little more polished, They tend to be higher up on the socioeconomic ladder. They're not going to be with you for $250 or $300 a month. Okay, that's, you know, that's like 8,000 to 10,000 baht a month. You're talking about for that much money, you know, if you're going to pay, if a girl is going to pay. Now, you know, like I said, this is, each situation is different. You could be with some chick and you just go, you know, you're sleeping with her and you think it's free, and then, you know, she's complaining about how her car just broke down, and you go, you know what, I'll pay your car for you. You're still paying for it. Now, she may not have really asked for it, but you know about it, and you decide you're going to do it. So there are there are subtle differences in the way that you deal with women whether they're Thai or not. Oh, it looks like it's been raining here. Huh. Wow. But my point is that, listen, I've known guys who have given girls $100,000 a month. You know, that's $3,000-$4,000 a month, depending on when. You know, I knew a guy who gave a girl, he used to give her about $150,000 a month. I knew another one, he was giving her $50,000 a month. I knew another one, it was about $100, $120. You know, so there are women, and, you know, these women were good-looking women. They had their act together. Now, they were still whores, or they are, you know, sugar babies, or whatever you want to call them, not to label them, but they were still women who were being taken care of, okay? And, you know, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that at all. I'm just saying that for $300, you ain't going to get much. Okay, it's just as simple as that. So, you know, I wrote back to the guy and told him, you know, that's for an inexpensive girl. And he wrote back to me, seriously, if every time you go Thailand and should pay for sex, laughing out loud. For the one thing that got me about this guy is that he was an arrogant cunt. He was an arrogant young cunt, excuse my French, who I didn't particularly like him. All right. And his name was Salim Kads. He wrote, seriously, I meet girl before I have my girlfriend. I met her from website Thai Love Links and had sex without pay them. They have a job and after it sure depend. They have a job and after it sure depend on how old you are. Sure, if you're 50-year-old, you will not have sex with young girl for free. It's normal. And I wrote him back and said, Salim, you think older men can't score? Ridiculous. Also, you had sex and didn't pay? Wow. Honestly, the fact that you would even say this says so much about you. Now, this is the kind of guy who I like I said, I didn't like this fucking cunt. And I wouldn't have a problem telling him, you're a fucking idiot. You're a chowderhead. Okay? And the reason is this. First of all, his arrogance. Now, okay, whatever. He's young. I'll give him that. Wow, there's flooding here. There's at least, well, there's 4 or 5 inches of water here on the road. I'm at about, what is it, Lod Prow, and where are we at? Almost by Chok Chai 4. Let's see where we are here. I can't really, I think it's right around there, though. Let me see. They don't have the signs up on these streets here. Okay, I'm at Lod Prow 48, and there was a lot of flooding for a little stretch, and it looks like, I didn't even know it was raining, but I guess fortunately it stopped, and a lot of the water has dried up, but there are some places where there's some flooding. So this is the thing, in Thailand, there's in Bangkok especially, but not only in Bangkok, but various other places, when there's heavy rains, there's a lot of flooding, okay? You know, you'd be walking around on a sidewalk, and you got water up to your knees. Anyway, so, yeah, let me get back to this joker. So he met a girl from Thai Love Links and had sex without paying. Well, here's the thing, okay? The internet is a great place to meet women for sex because of a number of reasons. Maybe they just want sex and they got a boyfriend, or they just want a fling. They just want some strange dick. I mean, you know, women are no different than men. They need to, you know, they need to get theirs once in a while. And sometimes maybe the boyfriend or husband ain't giving it to them right. Sometimes they just want something different. Sometimes it's exciting for them to, you know, meet some guy and take a pounding, you know, and, you know, then go, okay, bye, and then they never see him again, you know, for whatever reason. But the other reason, and I have a feeling that in this guy's case, it was probably the reason, what happens is you get the women who are either the rejects, or they don't have time, or they have split up with somebody and they want to try something different, and they figure that if they're going to meet you or you're going to meet them, that that means something. And they're willing to give it up because they want to keep you. Okay? So, you know, he's making a big deal about it here. You know, oh, yeah, I had sex without them, without paying them. Oh, and they even had a job. Well, that says something about him because, you know, if you were in America or, I don't know, in this guy's case, fucking Tunisia or wherever the fuck he's from, but if you were in, like, America, I don't think that you would be saying, yeah, you know, I slept with his chick and I didn't have to give her any money and she's even got a job. You know, it just shows what a piece of shit this guy is, okay? I mean, it's nice that the girl has a job and everything, but, like, really? If you want to have a bit of class? To me, I mean, I may speak a certain way sometimes, and but when it comes down to it, when I'm in when I need to go in situations where a little bit of class is warranted, a little bit of manners and grace is warranted, I don't have a problem fitting in. And somehow I have a feeling this guy did. And so this was a guy that I just didn't like. And then he says, sure, if you're 50 years old, you will not have sex with a young girl for free. It's normal. Now, I have to say something about that because, listen, I'm married. I love my wife. And frankly, I don't have the time or patience or desire to deal with other women. You know, I used to ask Thai guys, how come you only got, you know, you got your wife, you got money, why don't you have any other girls? And they would tell me, one is enough. I don't want to, you know, you have two or three, you get bored with them because they're, you got to deal with them. And this is the thing. Most of the time, you're not going to just have a couple of chicks, unless they're whores, hooas, you're not going to have a couple of girls who just say, yeah, come over, let's bang, and then you can leave. What happens is you bang them, they start to like you, or you start to like them. And then they expect things, they want things. And if you don't give those things, then they start getting pissed off and they start causing problems. And then, you know, I mean, you may have a couple of girls on the line and the girls are always calling. Well, if you've got a wife or a girlfriend who isn't into that, then you're going to have problems. Now, maybe that's telling of your relationship. It just depends. But, I mean, now, since I've been wearing my beard, when I didn't wear my beard, and, you know, well, let me preface that this statement that I'm going to make. There was a time when I used to dress very nice. I would go out all the time. I would at least wear, like, a nice pair of jeans, a nice pair of shoes. I'd wear a nice dress shirt. I always made sure that when I went out, that I was dressed well. Okay, that I presented myself very well. Now, the majority of the time, if I'm going out and I'm going to take photos, I just want to be comfortable. I'm not worried about how I look, although I don't want to look like shit. You know, I like wearing a pair of shorts because they're comfortable. They're easy to move around in. You wear a pair of jeans, sometimes, you know, they're not so comfortable. It's not easy to maneuver when you're trying to stretch your body and take photos or whatever, or it just depends. It depends on the heat also, but I used to dress quite well, and there was a period of time when I was dressed in suits and or just business attire. So everywhere I went, I always looked fairly well. And let me tell you that I had absolutely no problem. I would be, at the time, I was maybe, 48, between, anywhere from about 40 to almost 50. And I never had a beard. I was always shaved. My grooming was impeccable, you know. Nails were always, trimmed once a week and that sort of thing. I was in my 40s up to about 50. And there were girls that would basically just say flat out, you know, hey, why don't you call me sometime? And it was a given that, and these girls were not 40-year-old women. They were not even 35-year-old women. These are women between the ages of, say, 20 and maybe 30 on the high side. These are fairly young women. And I'm sure now, if I was to shave my beard, drop a little bit of weight, start going out dressing and, you know, peacocking a little bit, you know, wearing some nice stuff and making sure that it was noticeable, you know, I could get myself a pretty hot-looking 25-year-old without any... without any problems. The thing is now, in my own situation, first of all, I don't want that because, you know, my wife and I went through all kinds of things together. We've had a life together, and I don't want to do that to her. I don't really care. She's earned the right to be exclusive, to our exclusivity. She earned that right. Okay, and, you know, she's the mother of my children. So without getting into that too much, you know, the thing is that if I really wanted to, I'm sure that I could go out and pick up some nice, you know, 25-year-old, 30-year-old without kids. It wouldn't be that difficult. It's not really a big deal, you know. So I dispute what this guy says. I think he's a bit of a moron, an arrogant moron. And you know what they say? If you think you're really smart, you're probably not. Well, that applies in this guy's case. Now, let's see here. Another guy wrote me and he said, I think it's good and reasonable about you doing your videos. However, I think you fail to mention and to consider that many, many girls in Thailand are poor, and their families are back at the village, where often they wait for help. Just to say, we can't fail to consider the matter case by case, of course, under this perspective. But, you know, here's the thing. If I wanted to say something about poor Thai girls, I would. Yes, granted, there are some poor Thai girls. I admit it, of course. There's poor people everywhere, though. Okay? And there are quite a few very proud poor girls who, they don't want your fucking help, okay? They don't need it, and they don't want it. And that's why, you know, I don't feel the need to say that. And frankly, for this guy to say this makes him a Captain Save a Whore, okay? He wants to support these girls. He wants to do this, he wants to do... Listen, I don't have a problem supporting one another, but when I am the one who has to just support her, that's too much. I don't... It just doesn't do anything for me, you know. I mean, I don't know. I like somebody who can stand on their own 2 feet and do something. And you know, that's not to say. Listen, I mean, I was with a girl and she was relatively poor, but she was working hard. She was studying English and she was studying computers and she was trying. She did everything she could. She scrimped and scraped and she worked in a little restaurant to be able to have the money to better her life. And somebody like that, I mean, how can you not respect them? Okay? So let me get to the next, to this next message. All right, so moving on here. Let's see. I got this message from this guy. His name is Bruce. Okay? He left a comment about the girl who I did a video about, the pork stall girl, the girl that she sells pork in a little market, and a bunch of guys went nuts over her. And you know, of course, there were people saying to me that, you know, oh, you could only dream of having a girl like that, and saying stupid shit like that, which, if they actually knew the girl, they wouldn't say that, just because, you know, like I said, they don't know her, and believe me, she'd be lucky. You know, she's not exactly what you would call a high-class girl, or a woman of the world, or anything like that. So, I mean, you know, not to slam on her, but for those who talk shit about me in the video, well, you know, they can kiss my ass. Now, this guy wrote me I don't know, a couple weeks ago. And he said, I thought that Scott was a little rude to her. He was grilling her for information? This guy doesn't understand Thai values at all. If he got in a girl's face like that in America, he would get slapped. Well, it's funny because I only heard from this cunt once, and he never responded to my message, which, you know, here's the thing. There were people who had a problem with me talking to her the way I did, saying the things I said to her, doing what I did, which is, you know, just kind of mildly flirting with her. And the thing is that she didn't have any problem with it. So why the fuck would this guy have a problem with it? Okay? And then, you know, why would he tell me I don't understand Thai values? The thing is that he obviously doesn't understand Thai values. Because just because the values are what they are, it doesn't mean that if you know somebody, even a little bit, that you can't get away with more than what you think you should be allowed to get away with, or that you think most people get away with. Now, I did a little research on this guy, and you know, he's just some schmuck who lives in the U.S. He comes over to Thailand once or twice a year, and he's got himself a little girlfriend, and he does his little relationship online. So he thinks he's hot shit because he thinks he knows about Thai values. And, you know, this is the thing. Before he goes and makes these kind of assumptions, I would ask that, before he or anybody else makes these kind of assumptions, I would ask that the person maybe considers that there's more to it than you think. You know, it seems like a lot of people seem to think that they know me, or they know how I am. And while some of what I do in the video is me, for sure, bottom line is, you don't know me, and you may not know everything that is going on behind the scenes. Now, that's not to say that you can't make assumptions, but don't give me shit for it, okay? Like this jerk off. I did know the girl, and I was playing around with her. I also know that Thai values are not always what you seem to think. Innocent flirting is part of Thai culture, and considering her boyfriend was standing right next to her and didn't consider what I was doing to be a problem, then why the fuck would you? Because it doesn't meet up with your strict version of how Thai women are. Please, let me tell you something about Thai women, okay? Yes, they are different culturally. They're from Thailand, American women from America, British women are from, you know, the UK, or from England. And, you know, Italian women are from Italy. Yes, yeah, so what? Okay? Bottom line is, all women, you know, I mean, it's not, although the culture is different, it's not like they do things that are so different. They like a good-looking guy, some women will go after them. And that goes for Thai women, too. All right? If they want to get laid, some of them will go out and get laid. They don't have a problem with it. Just because their culture says that, you know, they shouldn't do that, well, maybe they won't go out and let people know. They're not going to let their closest friends know. Or maybe they will. But, you know, it's just like in America. You know, it's like you say, well, you know, the girl shouldn't sleep with the guy on the first date. But she does. I mean, you know, I can't tell you how many times I did that. And the girls would say, you know, I just want you to know, I'm not usually like this, you know, or I've never done this before or something. And maybe they hadn't. I don't know, but, you know, I mean, who am I to judge? And who the fuck is this guy, Bruce T. Baumgard, to judge me? Now, what really gets me is he said, if he got in a girl's face like that in America, he'd get slapped. Yeah, but I didn't make the video in America, you fucking chowderhead. Okay? I didn't make the video in Chowderhead. I made it in Chowderhead Land. That's Thailand. Where guys like you think you know everything and really you're brain dead. Now, here's the thing. If I was going to make a video like I did about this girl and I made it in America, you know, I would handle it however I felt was appropriate. If I knew the girl, a little bit, or if I knew her enough to be able to kind of say whatever I want. I mean, you know, I've always had a way of talking to people, not necessarily just women, but I've been able to say things to women that a lot of guys, they wouldn't even consider saying. Because either because I'm stupid or I got balls, or because I just sometimes I know how to do it. I know how to get in there and say things and make it to where it's not offensive. You know, and so here's the thing. What does my making this video and you're saying he's if he got in a girl's face like that in America, he'd get slapped. What does that have to do with the price of tea in China? It has absolutely nothing to do. And what gets me is that guys think because I do things that are maybe outside of the box, outside of the norm, that may not fit in what they think is their interpretation of Thai culture, they think that I don't know what I'm doing. But the thing is you know, it's like writing. There are rules you follow when you write. And guess what? Those who know how to write, they can usually get away with breaking some of those rules some of the times. Now, I'm not saying that I, you know, can walk up to any Thai girl and start talking about sex with her or start talking about anything else that's kind of a somewhat taboo subject. I'm not saying I can do that, that, you know, I have this ability that no other man has. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that certain people have these assumptions that they know what the culture is like or what people are like or what you can do. You know, here's the thing. It's like, listen, when I first came to Thailand, I was told that good Thai women never slept with their partner before they got married. Now, there are still some, definitely some out there that they won't sleep with a guy until they get married. And, you know, good on them. That, you know, whatever floats your boat, that's fine. But then there are plenty of them that, you know, they're like, listen, it's my boyfriend, and I love him. And, you know, I'm going to have sex with him. So, you know, I mean, that's just the way that it goes. All right, so, you know, the bottom line is if you know a woman, even a little bit, you can usually talk to her a little bit different than if you didn't. And, you know, once in a while I'll see this lady, this girl. She's a young girl, actually. She's only about, what is she, like 22, 24, something like that. And, you know, the thing that made me say something about her where I said, you know, she's not exactly the, you know, like the cream of the crop is because one day I saw her bebopping around in her little pink tennis shoes with gold, what do you call it, the spandex pants and some wild Hello Kitty shirt and Hello Kitty backpack. And, you know, listen, I'm 53 years old. Is that what I am? Yeah, 53 or 52. And the last thing that I would want is if I was to go after a woman is to go after somebody like that. Now, maybe if I was, you know, 22 years old, okay, but I'm not. All right, so that's why I made the comment. All right, now listen, I got this other guy who wrote me. I'm sure he's still watching. He actually asked me, are you American or are you Israeli? And I find that strange because, first of all, even if he didn't look at my channel or go on to my website, in my videos, I believe that at least once or twice, and he's watched pretty much all of my videos from what he's told me, I always say, I'm an American in Bangkok. I don't say I'm an Israeli in Bangkok. So, you know, it's like, dude, what the fuck? I mean, you know, it's almost as bad as the guy who said, can you tell me what a bot is? I could, but that's why you just need to Google it and figure it out for yourself. You know, I mean, like, you got a decent question, that's one thing. But you got some question that any Momo can ask, which is what these guys are, you know. I like that word. That's on par with Chowderhead, actually better even. I like that, Momo. You know, there's a lot of Momos out there. Okay, so there was this, let me just get to this other guy here. I like how people think that they know me, and this guy thought that he knew me. His name was David, and he wrote me, and he said, you know, you freaking worry too much. So I just wrote him back, you know, very calmly and politely. I wrote back, okay, whatever you say. He writes me back, no, people rely on what you say, Scott. It's your channel, and you have people banking on your advice. All caps, of course. Now, that's something to think about. And, you know, the thing is that he has very little idea how much I worry. And I certainly don't worry about my YouTube channel. I mean, I always think to myself, boy, it sure would be nice to add a zero behind what I earn. You know, I mean, who wouldn't like to, you know, add a couple of zeros behind what they're earning? You know, but that's about all. I mean, I'm not losing sleep over anything. I don't usually, you know. I mean, listen, I don't lose sleep over much. There's only a couple of things I would lose sleep over, and their names are Alex and Nicholas. Okay. Other than that, I don't lose sleep over shit. All right. I don't worry that much. That's the thing. I just don't. So anyway, let's see here. People rely on my, this is what I wrote, some people rely on my advice, that's fine. I do the best I can to give good advice, but I'm not sure what this has to do about with worrying. Let me put it this way, I worry far less than you think. So, of course he says that he was just messing with me and that, I live in Thailand and you live a life that millions of American men would die for. Why? Because they're scared to leave their dull routine, because it is a life that is safe, because they don't have the huevos to throw caution to the wind and take the chance and jump into an unknown life and an exotic land, including exotic places and women and adventures. You're the envy of many men here in the Western world. Ugh. Yeah, right. That's a pretty sad thought now, don't you think? I mean, I live a life that I created and I worked for. I have anything that I've ever wanted, I've always made sure that I went after it. I didn't have a problem going after it. If I really wanted something, I'd go after it. If I didn't really want it, I did it half-ass. And frankly, I could care less what millions of other guys want. I mean, you know, it's like, hey, you know, it'd be nice for me to start a revolution where millions of guys follow me and... and, you know, I do something positive for mankind, you know, mankind. But, you know, if people want something bad enough, they'll go for it. If they got the balls, they'll do something, they'll do whatever it takes. You know, they'll use their balls, all right? I look at it very straightforward. This is, you know, Thailand is definitely a good place to live. But, you know, it's just like anywhere else. It's got its positives, its negatives. And there's nothing really mystical about here. It's not some magical thing that, you know, you're so lucky. I'm not lucky, okay? I don't view it I'm lucky. Sometimes I'm lucky, of course. But, you know, luck is where preparation... what is it? Luck is where preparation meets... I don't know, what is it? I'm trying to think of what it is. I think it's something like preparation... luck is where preparation and opportunity meet... I think that's what it is. Yeah, luck is where preparation and opportunity meet. And I really believe that, okay? I mean, you know, what do you think? I mean, you think I'm thinking about all the millions of guys? First of all, I don't think I got millions of people listening to me. And second of all, you know, I mean, it's just like, it's no different than a guy trying to get a job. He goes, you know, goes in, he interviews. If he kills it and he's fearless... and he's smart, then, you know, he gets the job, hopefully. But if he goes in and he's timid and he interviews like shit, he's not going to get the job. It's the same thing. You know, you go after what you want, you really go after it, then, you know. Let's see here. You know, the bottom line is that what you reap what you sow. And if you put in the time to make a move somewhere, whether it's Thailand or somewhere else, or you put in the time to do something... chances are that you'll succeed. All right, so I got one more thing here with this guy that I got from this guy, and you know, it's no big deal what this guy wrote me, but it just, well, just listen to my advice. He wrote to me, "Hey, I'm going to Bangkok, Scott. What's your best advice?" Well, now I could use the old, you know, how long is a piece of string analogy. Instead, I wrote, "My best advice is stay alive." And that's about it. I mean, you know, you walk through the, you know, you want to do something, take the first step, head down the path, and who knows what, you know, waits ahead. You're not going to know unless you get on the path and go. And that's the bottom line. All right. Now, you know, previously when I started this podcast, I was in a taxi cab and I was on my way to the to Autocore Market and to the photo shop, the camera shop. And then I was going to go in and get some Starbucks. So what happened was I did all my shooting and everything. I blew through the roll of film. I went to the camera shop, and they said, "Oh, well, you know, we can't get this back till tomorrow." And I said, "Well, what about the color film? Because I really want that back, because that's the newest camera that I got. I really want to check out the photos and see how it came out." And they couldn't get it done for at least another 4 hours, and I didn't feel like sitting in the mall in Central Lot Prow. I didn't feel like sitting there for the next 4 hours, and then, you know, taking a half hour, 45 minutes to get home. So what I did was left the film, the black and white film, and then the place that I usually do some color developing, just stuff that I don't really care about. I do that at this little camera shop in the mall. And so I'm waiting. I got another hour. And then once it's done, I can check out how the camera worked and see how the photos came out and see if it's as much of a steal as I think it is or thought it was. So anyway, you know, right now I'm in Starbucks in the Mall Bonkabee, and I don't know if you can hear, but it's getting really loud. It's you know, Saturday, 12:30, and this is around the time when it gets really busy. If you come at about 10:30, 11 o'clock, it's not too busy. But once it hits 12 o'clock to 2 o'clock, even 2:30 or so, the people start filing in. It gets really busy and really noisy, so I apologize for all the noise. I wanted to get everything done in the taxi, but I just didn't have enough time because, as is often the case, I ramble on and on and on and on. And I was talking to somebody the other day and said, "Boy, you know, I could really use a producer. I could really use a producer to keep, you know, my time... To keep my time in check, and also to feed me articles to talk about and that kind of thing." And you know, maybe I'll have that in the future, hopefully. But I'm hoping to start a podcast on iTunes. I just haven't had any time to really figure everything out and think about it and think how I want to go about making a podcast. I'm hoping that if my leg is not too painful once the surgery is done, I've got 4 days to recuperate. I'm hoping I'll be able to get some things done, and I'll be laying in bed all day. I won't be able to go anywhere, and I'm hoping that I'll be able to make good use of that time. So, anyway, that's all I got for now. I am Scott. I'm an American in Bangkok. Until next time, choke D. La jerk and mine.